Last week, I shared with you about having a spiritual, kind of like a checkup or spiritual examination. Like everything that we have, we need to check things out and to make sure it's working properly. A car needs maintenance. Physically, we need to check ourselves up. And spiritually, we need to have a spiritual checkup. And I shared with you why that is important. David saw the importance of checking his heart. That's why he says, search me, O God, and see if there's anything wrong within me. And he pinpointed some areas that we need to be watchful from. And I also shared with you from James, some things we need to watch that are obstacles in getting in the way in our relationship with God. One is being so narcissistic, self-absorbed, that we don't see, anything wrong within us. And then we need to see that we do have faults and that we need to stop being selfish or self-absorbed. We need to stop being proud. And I also shared about idolatry, where certain things are more important than our worship of God. And then David goes on, talks about what he needs to do. And I shared with you about repentance. Repentance, not just say, I'm sorry, but to change our lives, where there was a refocus and rebuilding. And as I thought about that throughout the whole week, I don't know about you, for me, I started checking myself, where am I with the Lord on a consistent basis? And as I was thinking about, this Sunday, as we were preparing ourselves for Encounter God Conference, as well as to prepare ourselves for this year, I thought about what would it take to keep a consistent relationship with God? And this passage came to my mind. And it's basically retreating and praying. Because retreating and praying are the essential ways of keeping our relationship with God. It's an exercise where we need to do this on a consistent basis. And so today we want to explore what does it mean to retreat? What does it mean to pray? And so starting out with, in this passage, we know that Jesus took a consistent time to retreat. So what is retreat? It's a time to withdraw away from everything you're doing. The scriptures tell us that Jesus went to a wilderness to pray. And then when we think about wilderness, I think about, it doesn't always have to be a place where there's nobody there. Wilderness could be wherever you could be alone with God and spend some time and you can relax. I mean, think about it. We live in a city. To go to the wilderness, it'll probably take us, well, luckily because I live in Santa Monica, maybe 5 minutes to the beach, but there's people there. But if you really want to go to a place where there's nobody, probably takes anywhere from 1.5 hours to about 5 hours to get away. And we don't have that kind of time. So what does it mean when Jesus said, when Luke said, Jesus went to wilderness? What I started thinking about that word, wilderness, means to be in a surrounding where you can be alone with God and spend some time with God. Now, we are made very different, aren't we? We react differently. Some of us are extroverts. How many are extroverts here? How many of you are introverts? Okay, how many people are in between? And we have different personalities, INFJ, different personality types and so forth. And we respond differently in terms of retreating. For me, my favorite form of retreat nowadays, it used to be going to the mountains and the beach, but now it's going to a luxury hotel for free. For free. Free breakfast, free valet parking, free upgrade where this hotel is huge, one or two bedroom places. That's why Pastor Soon has a lot of credit cards to earn points to go for free. And it relaxes me. Now, what the point is, whatever style you have to be at a place, to be, having a retreat, make that your retreat. It could be maybe come here on a daily basis. The church is open for you to come and pray. It shouldn't be restricted. That's why we bought a place. It could be in a small room, in a closet in your room, Wherever he's leading you, go to that place to retreat. And there's three things that I want to emphasize when you go on a retreat. The first is resting. Now, when we think about resting, immediately we think about physical rest. I'm so tired, I need to sleep, 10, 15 hours, Or for some of us, it's to watch TV and fall asleep. How do you do that? Watch TV and fall asleep? I do that. Or listen to music, or play video games to relax, whatever it takes. But what we need to understand is there's many areas of rest that we're built for. There's a person by the name of Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith. She's a medical doctor, author, and speaker. Talks about seven areas of rest. And the first area is what we call physical rest. And there's two types of physical rest. One is passive rest, where you're sleeping, napping, resting, and eating. There's an example of this when Elijah was threatened by Jezebel that he was going to be killed. He retreats to wilderness, and he falls asleep. And the angel of the Lord wakes him up. And what does the angel of the Lord say to him? Eat. Eating should be pleasurable. So go and enjoy. Don't just watch YouTube videos on eating. Go out there, spend the money. Don't worry about the cost sometimes. Just eat and enjoy. There's cheap ways to eat, and you can enjoy it. In-N-Out Burger is very cheap, right? Tommy's Burger is very cheap. Well, I'm talking burgers. I think I'm hungering for burgers right now. But just kind of rest doing this. But there's also another form of spiritual rest, and it's what we call stretching exercises, something form like yoga, which rests your body. It could be getting a massage, acupuncture, going to chiropractor to get your back corrected. All sorts of ways to just kind of rest. And there needs to be time to do that. But there needs to be time where you can physically rest. The second sphere of rest is mental rest. There's a lot of people who have what she defines as mental rest deficit, in that you can sleep 8 to 10 hours or 14 hours, you can sleep one whole week, but still feel tired. And her analysis of why people feel tired is because mentally there are issues that people need to deal with. And often to deal with this, we need to ask the question, am I overly worried? Am I overly loaded with issues? Am I depressed? We got to deal with those kind of issues and start writing it down and take it before the Lord and say, Lord, this is the reason why I feel so tired. I need a mental rest. The third area of rest is, I like this, sensory rest. What stimulates our senses? Your iPhone, your text, your computers, TV. Sometimes we need a rest from everything. Would you agree? How do we do that? Just turn everything off. And don't worry about, did someone call me? Did someone want to text me? Did someone want to speak to me? A lot of times psychologically, the reason why we're so connected to sensory stimulation is it makes you feel wanted. It makes you feel important because someone is texting you. Someone is talking to you. Someone's emailing you. Take some time off from that, because God doesn't email you. God doesn't give you a phone call on your cell phone. Take some time off from all that and just rest. It's necessary. But there's also what we call creative rest. So there's physical rest. There's sensory rest. There's mental rest. What is creative rest? A lot of times people who work are under a lot of stress to come up with ideas on implementing certain things. And sitting in the room trying to be creative doesn't always work. It's very frustrating. So I was reading up on the iPhone. In the old times, when you turn on the iPhone, I think they still have it. There's this button you slide to open. And then it turns on the phone, and a slide that closes it, and turns off the power. You know where this idea came from? It came from this guy by the name of Freddy Anzures, and he was taking a flight after visiting his brother from New York to L.A. He needed to go to the bathroom to sit down and meditate. And while meditating, he saw their airplane bathroom door. If you look at it very carefully, it's like the iPhone. Slide, slide off, open and close. That's how he came up with this idea. Quite a ways of having creative, you know, rest. And sometimes, if you want creativity, those of you who are very artistic, get out of your comfort zone and just go and do something different, and somehow ideas come to you. And then there's the sixth element is what we call emotional rest. So there's a mental rest. What's the difference of emotional rest? There's some people who really stress you out. Would you agree? I mean, sometimes my wife stresses me out because she sometimes nags me to death, you know, but she doesn't. I'm just lying. We're celebrating 34. I'm very happy with her. Thank you. But the emotional rest is sometimes where you need to take a break. There's nothing wrong to take a break from people who stress you out. You don't need to tell them, oh, you stress me out. That's not the way to do it. But there's times where you just need a break and just take a break. And the way we need spiritual rest, emotional rest, is sometimes to be away. But for some, it's to be around people who just encourages you. And so something I encourage you to do is go to a Tres Dias retreat where you just served all the time and being encouraged or get information. So we need that area of rest, but also there needs to be a social rest. What is social rest? When I think about social rest, I think about how we need to rest socially. Some of you who are introverts, you just need to be alone. Now, some of you are extroverts, you just have to be around people. That's your form of social rest. Take whatever is comfortable for you to rest socially. And the last element, the seventh element, is spiritual rest. So I talked about physical rest, mental rest. I talked about, you know, rest from cyber stuff, you know, that makes you tired sometimes. Social rest, spiritual rest. What is spiritual rest? Jesus, I believe, not only did spiritual rest, but he did all of this. Spiritual rest is to be alone with God in the quietness and allow him to speak to you, to reconnect with him, to talk to him, to meditate on him. And the purpose of all this rest, why do you do this? To re-energize. You know, like for me, physically and mentally and spiritually, I need to have my power nap. And the whole day after a power nap, I can go on another, you know, 6 to 8 hours. And the way I go to power nap, I watch YouTube channel on camping in the freezing snow. And it bores me, so I go to sleep. And when I wake up, I feel so rejuvenated. Do whatever ways you can do to rest, to be rejuvenated. And that's the purpose of rest. So as you rest, and after you do this, reflect. What is the purpose of reflecting? It is, as I shared with you last week, it's like a form of where I am, spiritual checkup. Reflection is defined as an exercise of serious thought or consideration, contemplation, where you contemplate, deliberation, pondering, meditation, and musing. And this form of musing is to think. Let your mind sometimes wander off. You know, my wife said the way she decided to marry me was at New York Penn Station. She said, who are the available guys? She started musing. Then I showed up. She said, that's the one. You know, there's no one like me, girl. But anyhow, a lot of those times where your mind just gets to reflect on musing and to think. There's a person by the name of Carrie Demitin. She wrote this way, spiritual reflection for Christian believers is a process of thinking, pondering, or reflecting on biblical teachings. Spiritual reflection transforms our spiritual life, matures our faith. Contemplation brings the quietness of mind, the openness of the spirit, and the softness of the heart experienced during times in prayer. You know, sometimes contemplation is necessary to kind of be chill about the things that makes us really anxious. And so reflection time, resting in reflection, will help you to overcome often the anxieties that we face. And so start reflecting on the Lord. Start reflecting also the most important thing. Our church, I believe very strongly, needs to work on the Word of God. The Word of God is our guide. The Word of God is where God speaks to us. And so be like the righteous man mentioned in Psalms 1:3, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Let's read it together. And who meditates on his law day and night. This is really important to memorize scripture, scripture memory. Meditate on it day and night. Why? Because as you meditate on day and night, you can answer these questions in daily living, like what's happening? Where am I with God? What is God trying to speak to me about? My future. What are areas in my life that I need to improve? How is my spiritual, emotional well-being? Why am I going through this huge hard times, issues in my life? All these things, as you reflect and meditate on the Word of God, the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. God's word is your guide, and it will show you how to walk. And so reflect through this way. And as you reflect, what it does is it helps you to refocus back onto the Lord. And that's what Jesus did. When he went out to a lonely place to pray, it was kind of refocusing. Notice here in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, since we have such great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, this phrase is really important. Let's rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let's run with endurance and race that is set before us, looking only at Jesus, the originator, perfecter of the faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, looking at Jesus. There's a song called Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look into his wonderful face, and the things of the world will go strangely dim. Focus and look to Jesus, and he will help you. He will help you to refocus and start realizing, all these things that I'm worrying about is not all that bad. You know, the Bible says, too much worry is wearisome to the soul. I agree. And the Bible says, you know, today has enough problems of its own. Focus on today and refocus and allow God to speak to you. So retreating is three things, okay? Three things we do. Let's repeat after me. I rest, I reflect, and I refocus. Are you doing that? Do that on a regular basis. Do that on a regular basis. It doesn't always have to be a forest home. It doesn't always have to be at a faraway place. You can do it wherever you feel, at a location where you feel comfortable. And as you do this, that's where prayer comes. So if you look at these passages, Jesus went to a quiet place to pray, or another way is consistent place to pray, a place where you could pray consistently. And so if we look at Mark chapter 1, verses 35 to 39, it talks about him waking up early in the morning while it was still dark. Now, let me ask this question. How many people are here morning birds? How many people are late birds? Like, you know, you go to sleep around 2, wake about 2 or 3, you know, or 10 o'clock. But some of us are morning birds and late birds. I think Pastor Dan wakes up at 4, go to sleep at 1. I'm just kidding. But some of us are like that, okay? I, for one, am that kind of person. this phrase, early in the morning, what Jesus is trying to say is the Mark is trying to say to us is basically this. Whenever you wake up, it's a priority to pray. Whenever you wake up, it's a priority to spend time with God. Now, some people spiritualize this by saying, read the Bible, which is very important. But if you just read the Bible, don't get anything, there's something wrong here. So come with a heart and preparation to say, yeah, I want to know God. I want to spend some time with you. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Read the Bible. But if it doesn't make sense, just read one or two verses. Meditate on it. Let it speak to you. And as you do this, pray. And so what Jesus did is during the retreat was he prioritized going to a place to pray. And where did he go to pray? He went to pray at a solitary place. That's where he went to pray. And when did he do this? Every time he woke up. Whenever he woke up, there was consistent priority where he, when he did this. And where did it go? A place where he could pray. And so it could be anywhere. I used to love studying at the research library because they used to be conference rooms. And I remember just going to an empty conference room just to pray. Wherever you can be, it could be your closet, wherever you want to be, go and pray. So why did Jesus pray? Notice here, what's interesting is, if you look at verses 36 to 37, Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Now, the context of this verse is this. Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law. And everyone hears about this. And people are coming to get healed. And the disciples are really excited. And the other thing we need to understand is the disciples' view of Jesus coming to this earth was not to proclaim the kingdom of God for the future, a new heavens, a new earth. They thought Jesus came to overthrow the Roman government. So keep that in mind. And so when they see these healings and miraculous work of God, what are they thinking? They're saying, a new king has come, and with this power, we can overthrow the Roman government. And so that's why they're yelling in a way, where are you at? Because the word for search implies impatience. It speaks of hunting and often carries with it the sense of hostility. So they're really pissed off. Where did you go, Jesus? We had this opportunity to heal all these people and overthrow the emperor and the Roman rule. And because of this, Jesus knew they were going to do this. He spent time to pray, to refocus. Because often when we experience the work of God in a very miraculous way, often we can get into self-glorification. Often we get into pride. We get into issues of how good we are, what we have done. We need to turn our eyes back to the Lord. And Jesus retreated to turn his eyes on the Lord. And then he also prayed for power. You know, why did he pray? To refocus. Why did he pray? To ask for power to allow him to do the work of God. Because the work of God is very exhausting. We got to understand Jesus is 100% God, 100% human when he was incarnate on this earth. And people ask, how could he do that? Because he's God, he can do it. He can be 100% woman, 100% God. And he's physically tired, and that's why he needs time to ask God for power. One author wrote this way: prayer is a confession of need, an admission of weakness, a practical declaration of dependence, and it's a plea for power, a plea for God. If we will fish for men as Jesus demands of us, we must pray. Church, we must pray. We must have the privilege to pray. In the wilderness, it is asking God to give us the ability, the power, and enablement to do the work of God. And that's why we pray, because we cannot do it on our own. That's why we became Christian. We cannot live life on our own power. We need the power of God to work through us and the dependence of God to work through us. And that's why we pray. So, this is the reason. why Jesus went to pray. And then when the disciples came, where were you? What's Jesus' answer? Look at verse 38 and 39 in Mark. Jesus replied, "Let's go some place else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Notice here, "that is why I have come." Your intent is to make me king of this world and overthrow the Rome. That's not my interest. My interest is to establish eternal kingdom. And when I come back, I will establish the kingdom that I will rule forever. I need to die on the cross for you guys so you can have access to a relationship with me. I need to heal the brokenness. And when we think about this, Jesus is really focused through a retreat to really do the work of God. Perspective. And so when we think about retreating and we think about our lives, the reason why it's so important is you need to rest and be re-energized. You need to reflect. You need to reflect, refocus. And through that, we pray at a place that is conducive for us to pray. Why? So we can get the perspective. So we can get right focus on what God wants us to do. And it's so essential this year. As we start 2022, I know that God's going to work. And the way he's going to work is going to transform our lives for eternity. For some of us, it'll be time to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. For some of you, it'll be a defining moment where you'll experience things that will change your life. God is working to transform us. And as he's working, we need this exercise of retreating and praying. You know, I was with my father-in-law after I got married. It was only about like 11 months later. I went to visit my mother-in-law and my father-in-law with my wife. And he started an orphanage in Korea, and he raised about 580 orphans. And the way he started this orphanage was coming down from the north during the war. He had all these resources and saw tons of orphans in the region of Korea, and started to sell all his possession, bought land, and figured out a way to raise 580 orphans. Now, I'm having a handful raising four kids. 580 is quite a bit. And he was sharing with me, well, he had a handful because he had 10 kids, you know. Bless his soul. He was sharing with me the secret of, you know, running an orphanage and how he was able to do that. And I remember him very clearly telling me, you know, the power behind all this is spending personal time and praying. And every morning, I didn't listen to him about this, but he goes, "I wear a suit to come before the Lord because I want to respect God by wearing a suit, and I pray." And then often I go and on a motorcycle go up to the mountains, or sometimes walk up to the mountains to get mountain water. And during this time, it's a time of retreating before the day begins. I asked him, "What time do you wake up?" It was about 4 or 5. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, that's quite a bit of, practiced, but it gave me an awe and sense of thinking, wow, Jesus woke up early in the morning. And when you spend time with God retreating, I said, "What do you do when you go up?" He goes, "I meditate on scripture and I pray. And God gives me a focus throughout the day. Which orphan do I need to focus on? How do I gently nurture this orphan to come this way? How do I help this orphan? And this orphan's needs, and so forth." And that's what we need in life. And I remember as a young person listening to that, applying that principle on a consistent basis, that whenever I wake up, granted, each one of you have different ways of connecting with God. Would you agree? Some of us connect through worship. Some of us need silence. Some of us need different styles. Whatever style it is, it doesn't have to be early morning where you're so tired. I don't want to wake up when I'm so tired, because you know why? You can't pay attention to God. So have a good rest, good sleep. But whenever you wake up, turn your eyes to Jesus. Retreat with him and pray. Allow him to speak to you. Read the word and pray. Why is this important? It helps you in your consistent walk with God. And as we look into over this weekend, when we talk about Encountering God Conference, it's a time also to have a personal experience as well as group experience of God meeting us. And I'm praying for that to happen to you. So practice retreating and praying. You don't need to drive many hours unless you have the time. You don't necessarily have to go to a conference center. You could do it where you're at. Just practice that time to be with the Lord. Amen.